Just wish we could get you to sing out. Wow. I didn't think we could beat this morning. Did you pay attention to the words of the song? Send the light, nearer, still nearer. Our God is alive. I've admonished when I used to preach, members of the church, if you get here early, get the songbook out. A lot of good sermons in the songs. Wow. I can't make it through nearer, still nearer. Powerful. Our God, He is alive. Powerful. And send the light. Boom. Need to take that personal, don't we? Sure do. We could just talk about our song service, couldn't we? Wonderful to be able to blend our voices together. Somebody said, thank you, God, for having us sing. Have you been to a denomination where you couldn't hear anybody sing because of the piano and organ? And therefore, a lot of people don't sing. I don't sing with them. But I'm not going to get off of that. Judy's saying, let's get away. I get to chasing a rabbit. And you've got a good preacher who's going to take care of a lot of this good preaching and teaching that you need. Shake your head this way. Yeah, that's good. Good to have our visitors with us. And thank you for this good song service. If I've heard since I was a little boy that the good singing helps the preaching, this preaching ought to be something. But don't count on it. As you probably figured out, I'm not going to read it again. We just read that. We're going to be talking about a young man and some tests that he went through. In chapter 39, there are three tests. There is the test of prosperity, there, verses 1 through 6. The test of purity, verses 7 through 12. And then the final part of the chapter, which we will not get to tonight, or we would be here till midnight. Maybe anyway. You can look at that last one yourself. But that's a good sermon. Tests of a young man, Joseph. The story of Joseph is like a serial on TV or in the movies when I was a little boy, when movies cost a quarter. They'd leave you. Come on, I can't wait till next week to go. It has excitement. It has love, it has adventure, it has hate, all the emotions in this wonderful story. And man has divided the story into chapters and has ended each chapter at the right place. Because you want to see what's in the next chapter. Chapter 38 is a little commercial break about Judah and you want to talk about a messed up man, you read in chapter 38. Something that you don't want to do. And we leave Joseph in chapter 37 as he's been sold to the Ishmaelite traders. And you know where he's taken, don't you? Everybody knows where Joseph was taken. In chapter 39 and verse 1, we read of his boss, Potiphar. And he, as it were the chief bodyguard of Pharaoh. Pretty high up. Joseph goes from the love of his father to Potiphar's house as a slave. But we never read of God speaking to Joseph. But we know God is there, don't we? So the test of his prosperity and the test of his purity, and the test of persecution. And don't you tell me that you don't have the test of prosperity. One of our high school students went to Nicaragua for 12 days, or a little longer maybe. He said he came back and went to a camp, and the kids were complaining because they didn't have soft water. He said, I didn't get to sleep on a mattress. He said, there was no water heater. community bathroom. And it's not like you think of it as our bathroom, was it not? The blood we have, we go to our closets and say, I don't have a thing to wear. Shame on us. Shame on us. Test of prosperity. We are filthy rich in comparison to most of the world. That's why so many are giving their lives trying to get here on homemade craft boats that fall apart in the ocean many times and they died, trying to get here. So don't tell me that you don't have the test of prosperity. In verses 1 through 6. If living today, Joseph would have probably have been in or near the White House as a servant. He was a prominent man in Egypt, wasn't he? Very, very prominent. He was a man of position. Everybody would know the chief servant of Potiphar, Pharaoh's chief bodyguard. He was the overseer of all that Potiphar had, verses 4 and 5 told us that we just read. And verses 8 and 9 explain even more about his position, but we'll get there in just a little bit. Potiphar said, Joseph, it's all yours, baby. You take care of it. God was with him. He was a man of position. He was a man of power. He was the boss of all that Potiphar had. He was in control. And maybe still have been a teenager. He was sold when he was about 17 years old. You know, I don't think we give our teenagers much credit. Oh, he's too young. She's too young. You need to read what the teenagers did. Read about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what they did as teenagers and their faithfulness, and Joseph. You know anybody named Joseph? Anybody in here? Maybe your middle name, not your first. But I guarantee you know a Joseph, don't you? Somewhere, if not related to you, a friend. Again, because of that great name. Very young, prominent man of position and of power, and he was popular. Potiphar was blessed, verse 5 tells us, because of Joseph, because God was with him. You know why God was with Joseph? Because Joseph was with God. How you doing? How are you doing? I'd like to think, had I lived back in the day, I would have done what he did. But I'd have to shake my head. No, you missed the boat. This young man was a man. He was mature. He was grown up. And we need not wait till a man's 30 years old and think, well, maybe he's mature by now. No. Joseph, verse 6, tells us that he was good-looking man and well-built. The description of the verse 6 tells us at the end of that verse. And you know that can be a bane or a blessing, can't it? A pretty girl that knows it, thinks she's God's gift to men. What do you think about her? She can't go anywhere without looking in a mirror. She keeps looking at herself. See? Chapter 29 and verse 17 describes Joseph's mother when it says, beautiful of form and appearance. She was gorgeous. Rachel was gorgeous. So that just shows that children get their good looks from their mother. You can take credit. Little is said about good looks in the Bible, but here it is. Just a few other times. So we have the test of prosperity, verses 1 through 6. Then verses 7 through 12, which we will take the time to read. You read right along with me, okay? Because you need to see it and hear it. By the way, the eunuch was reading out loud. You know how you know that in Acts chapter 8? Because Philip what? Heard him reading. You think something's, well, he's reading out loud. No, it's good for you to read out loud. Because you not only see it with your eyes, you hear it with your ears. Goes in twice. And it came to pass after these things, highlighted that for a purpose, and we'll talk about that, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Oh, that's in the Bible. Yes, it is. But he refused. We talked about if sinners entice thee. Where's that found? What verse? Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, here it is. Did Joseph do this? Shake your head this way. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. He said, I know more about this place than he does. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Let's just drive a tent peg down right there. What if you're Mrs. Potiphar about now? You're trying to seduce this young man. And he gives you a speech like David gave Goliath. Whoa. Men, can you give this speech? Like the Cajun says, 12 out of 9 men are going to be tempted. Okay? In one form or fashion, how you going to do? I'd like to tell you about the result of that sort of activity, but that's a whole nother sermon. How then can I do? You need to underline this in your Bible. How then, since your husband has given me all these things, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against, what's the next word?
God.
Would you say that to her? Men. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her. He did not listen to her, to lie with her or to be with him. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the other men was in the house or was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. What did Paul say to the Corinthians? Two words. Flee fornication. Joseph is a living example of that, isn't he? You can try that hand if you want to, but you need to read Proverbs chapters 5, 6, and 7 about the strange woman. You want to go there? You talk about the consequences of Proverbs 1, 20 through 32? You're going to get them, and you're not going to like it. You're going to be wishing you hadn't have. Joseph didn't have to do that, did he? Did he? So we come to the second test in our final part of this lesson. The test of purity. 1 Timothy 5, 22, we'll come to it again. Keep thyself pure. Great tests in our lives come during prosperity. Joseph was prosperous. Everything he did was told for him, going up the corporate ladder, as it were. But most people handle adversity better than prosperity, don't they? I can deal with adversity and not being so rich, but give me money to look out. You know what will happen is the money will own you. It will tell you where you're going, what you're going to do. That's what money does. Verse 39 in chapter, verse 7 of chapter 39 says, remember, after these things, after what things? Verses 1 through 6. After all of his prosperity, look out. Doesn't the Bible warn us of riches? Again, that's a whole other sermon, isn't it? Look, giving you some ideas for sermons. Does the Bible warn us about the evils of it? Try 1 Timothy 6 on for just one. Watch a man that is prosperous. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. We usually say pride goeth before a fall. That's not what it says. Pride goeth before destruction, and a spirit before the fall. We talk about somebody who's snooty and prideful. They got their nose up in there. They trip over things they wouldn't trip over if they were looking where they ought to be instead of up above everybody. They're better than everybody else. Look at me. I am a success. So you watch a man that's prosperous. He's treading on dangerous, dangerous ground. In verses 8 through 12, he comes to two tests. The power of the temptation and the power over the temptation. And so, of course, we will look, first of all, at the power of the temptation. We live in a day where people say, there's no sense telling teenagers to keep themselves pure because it's just not going to happen. What are they handing out at school? My brother in the 7th or 8th grade, they had to sell something, and whoever sold the most, whatever it was, candy or something, you know what the winning prize was? A Bible. Is that going to happen today? They're going to hand out Bibles? They'd rather burn it today, hadn't they? And follow the Holy Quran, as somebody says. The power of the temptation. Everybody's doing it, so, duh. That makes it okay. You know, I told my children things I said I'd never tell them that my parents told me. If everybody was jumping off a cliff, you know the end of the story. Everybody's going. Which means you ought to be able to go. You know what I got told several times? You're not going. You know, I really didn't understand the no part of that. But as I grew up, wow, were they wise? You know what? You know where they learned that? My folks got their Bible education, didn't they? The power of the temptation. Joseph didn't bow to that false statement. Everybody is doing it. Some say that Joseph's temptation wasn't so powerful. Well, let's just take a look. It was a surprise temptation. A surprise. He walks in, and all was going well for him that day. You know what Joseph wasn't doing? He wasn't strutting his stuff. You know who I am? I'm Potiphar, chief guy. I'm good looking. Go like Fonzie looking in the mirror. You remember that, some of you? Maybe you've seen reruns. All he could do is look in the mirror. Hey, that wasn't Joseph, was it? That's pride, isn't it? Isn't it? Sure it is. So, his temptation wasn't so powerful. It was a surprise temptation. He wasn't expecting it. He said, well, he didn't say, when I'm going into the house today, guess what's going to happen? He didn't know it. It was out of the blue. Come lie with me, a surprise attack. So it was a surprise temptation. It was a sustained temptation. Day after day after day, the Bible tells us, day in and day out, every time she saw him. Not a one-time attempt, was it? I might be able to handle once. What about again and again and again? You keep putting it before you. You're going to cave if you're not careful. Some resist at first but give in. What did Paul say about Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10? Demas hath what? Forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's not going to happen to me. You know who that? That's exactly what's going to happen to me. If I lower my guard, boom! Boxers have to keep their guard up till the last bell, don't they? Don't they? So do we. Our adversary, the devil, is walking about as a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5 tells us. Seeking you. You've seen what a roaring lion does, or a lion does to its prey, as we talked about this morning. It's not a pretty sight when he's finished, is it? Need to plug in. Can you bear some time with me? I was afraid that's going to happen. But I wasn't smart enough to fix it. I can't do two things at once. Thank you. Stop it. What should I do? Get mad at it? Have wire rage? All right. Now, as they say on TV, back to our story. A sustained, constant temptation. Joseph resisted. He resisted by persistence. He was wearing that shirt. What part of no don't you understand that we talked about this morning? He didn't let his guard down, and neither can you. The devil is a weak link in your chain. And you let down, and he'll be right there. It was a surprise temptation. It was a sustained temptation. And it was a secret temptation. Who's going to know? Nobody's in the house. I'm not going to tell, are you? You know how a lot of criminals have gotten caught? We're not going to tell. But after a while, I've just got to tell somebody what I've done. And oh, by the way, girls, you know how long the guy's going to hold the secret? Till he gets home after the date. Monday in physical education class. I know what they talk about. Been there, done that. Heard that. Girls' reputation's ruined because the quarterback or the jock of the school. If you love me, No, you won't. If you love me, you wouldn't ask me to do that. I told our sweet little daughter with her sweet little fingers, I said, you double it up. You let him know what no means if he doesn't hear you. And he goes to school Monday with a black eye. He's going to have to explain how this 100-pound little girl let him know what no means. All alone, nobody's going to know. Who's going to tell? You know, it's a test of character, isn't it? What you would do if nobody finds out? Think about that. That's who you are. Many are just afraid of getting caught. It's not their love for God that keeps them from it. And you know what most people think, like those five boys we talked about this morning? that got to wear those pretty little silver chains and the gray suits with the orange stripes down the side, and they got to walk like this through Midtown in Danville, Indiana, Don. No, they're not going to get caught. Not going to get caught. Guess what? What are the chances? Who's going to know? You will. Didn't Moses say you be sure what? Your sin will what? Find you out. How'd you like to get that phone call? I was in the home of a man when he got a phone call like that he'd been found out. Oh my. Attitudes changed. He had to go all of a sudden. Not a pleasant sight. It was a surprise temptation, a sustained temptation, a secret temptation, and a sensible temptation. And you're thinking, sensible? What sense does that make? We rationalize it. Well, if you were married to him, you'd understand. That's rationalization. You were married to her, which makes it sensible, then. You know, he could have said, what if I don't? Oh, she's my boss's wife, and she'll be upset, and I'm going to have a hard time. You know what she's going to tell him? That I'm a no good servant. You're fired. I think that's the word today. Did he care about that? Did he try to think that way? And oh, by the way, he not have rationalized after the way he'd been treated? He'd been a good boy all these 17 years. He goes out to find his brothers. He walks 50 miles and they're not where they're supposed to be. He walks another 20 miles and finally finds them. And you remember what they said? Let's see what's going to become of his dreams now. They put him in a pit. And David tells us that he hollered for help. They heard him in that pit. And those pits were made like a cone. You couldn't scale up the wall like a macho hero, because it was too far apart. No way you could climb. They were going to leave him there. Well, you know, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the day. Look how I've been treated. I've been a good boy. Obeyed my dad. I was doing what he told me to do when I came out here. And now look where I am. Thank you. So I deserve this. Rationalizing. That's sensible. That's how we think. Really? Really? And by the way, his father didn't come to rescue him. But you know what Joseph didn't know? He didn't know that Jacob didn't know the truth. What did Jacob think? His brothers, for 22 years, lived a lie. How did they see their dad? Every day. Every day. Said, I'm going to my grave. One of them couldn't have said, Daddy, we lied to you. Joseph lives. Can you imagine that? When the Bible says in chapter 39 that they hated him. They could not stand him. Chapter 37. Beginning of that chapter. Twice in two or three verses, they hated him when he came out of the tent. Their own brother. He could have rationalized. Can you? Why, it's okay for you to do what you know is wrong to do, but I deserve it. Sensible and subtle. Again, I beseech you, as Paul would say, to read Proverbs chapter 7 and see the strange woman. And how she deceived this young man who's walked to her door. and she answers all of his questions. What if your husband comes? Oh, he's gone for a week. He won't be back. He took a whole lot of money. He won't be back. I've got everything ready. And by the way, I'm a very religious girl. That's what she told him. You better be. You hear the knock on the door and you open it and her husband's there. Hey, how you doing? How do you think he's doing? He's not gonna come and thank you, is he? You wanna live with that? Every time somebody knocks on the door? How about it? But you're gonna have consequences, aren't you? It was a surprise temptation, a sustained temptation, a secret temptation, a sensible temptation, rationalizing it, and a subtle temptation. Again, I admonish you girls, do not listen to the false thoughts and wants of a young man. He had the power, there was the power of the temptation, and now the power over the temptation, and we'll close. He had conviction before the crisis. You do not make up your mind while the incident is occurring. You already know. We talk about defensive driving, do we not? Why? Because it could cost you your life. How about defensive living? Because it could cost you your life, and that eternally. I know too much about heaven to want to go to hell, don't you? And I know too much about hell not to want to go to heaven. And I need to read about the rich man who lifted up his eyes, being in torment. No way out. My mom and dad used to send me to my room. You know what was in my room? A bed and a table. No television? Oh, we did have a little radio, a little transistor radio. When 5 o'clock came, the radio station went off. Jim Dandy. Wasn't a whole lot you could do up there, just sit and think. And they'd come to the stairs, and they'd say, Morris, you think you can come out and act like the rest of us? And you know what I never did say? No, I don't think so. I'd rather stay up here another 2 or 3 hours. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Is that going to happen in hell? God, after a few centuries, a few millennia. Okay, you've been in there long enough. No. Everlasting punishment. You don't know anything that's everlasting in this life, do you? You get a new suit, new car, new house, new shoes, new purse, new whatever. Oh! Begins to wear out, doesn't it? Just saying. He had conviction. And I tell you, you hesitate. You're making up your mind while it's going on. Too late. You're dead. You've got to have the conviction before the crisis. Know what you're going to do. And again, as we said this morning, don't act like, well, I guess I better not. He refused immediately. No delay. No delay at all. You know that old phrase or saying, he who hesitates is what? Lost. I told you we'd remind you of this verse, Psalm 119 and verse 11. Thy word, what? Have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Listen to me, young people. I want you, when you are my age, to not look back and say, whew. Have the conviction before the crisis. The crisis reveals what you are. Keep yourself pure. Then, love involves loyalty. Are you a loyal son, grandson, daughter, husband, wife? Joseph was a loyal servant. Boy, did he unload on her, didn't he? I cannot do this. Did that stop her? No. The devil doesn't care. He didn't say, Mrs. Potiphar, you better back off. Not at all. Well, somebody says, oh, I said, Joseph must have been a sissy. No, he was the man, wasn't he? He the man. What if he'd have given in? What would I be preaching about today? Well, we've got another example of David and Bathsheba. David failed the test, didn't he? Shake your head this way. Was David, oh, so glad, man. That was the greatest thing ever happened to me. The baby died. He killed Uriah. And the hits just kept on coming. You want that? Well, nobody told. Yes, they did. You just chose not to hear. And wisdom said, remember what she said in Proverbs 1? I called and you didn't listen. Now you're calling and I'm not listening. But don't come crying to me or to anybody and say, nobody. Yes, they did. You just turned your hearing aid off, didn't you? Have the conviction before the crisis. Have love and loyalty when the consequences come. And I'll tell you what, the two that are involved are not the only ones that are going to be hurt. You know what sin is? How does it spell? Pretty easy, isn't it? S-I-N. Somebody said it even begins with the hiss of a serpent. Sin. Well, the devil made me do it, the comedian used to say, Flip Wilson. You old enough to remember him? The devil. Oh, that was so funny. Hey, it's not funny. And the devil didn't make you do it. Read James 1, 14 and 15. You sinned. You did it. S-I-N. I am public enemy number one. Love involves loyalty. No, Joseph wasn't a sissy, was he? And you know children cry? It's my fault. If I'd have been a better son, if I'd have been a better daughter, I've heard him say that of you. Grandparents, and I think some children shorten the lives of their parents. Sin always affects others, and Joseph knew of two. And he tells us, how can I do this great sin against who? God. And your husband. I cannot do that. He had conviction before the crisis. And he was loyal to his Lord, wasn't he? And he had the sense to avoid the source. What is it with you? Computer? TV? Movies? Books? Have I named it? Do you know advertisers? They know how to advertise. Through Walmart, don't they? Just, what do they advertise? Are we blushing anymore? Well, how do we know Mrs. Potiphar was good looking? Well, Potiphar had the power to pick a beautiful wife, didn't he? Just about any woman he wanted. Mrs. Potiphar was Joseph's temptress. Listen to her. Kind of reading between the lines. I've written down here, Joseph, I'm so lonely. And my husband is never home. I just need somebody to talk to. Or can we do lunch? Really? Many a marriage has been ruined in the office, hasn't it? Because he sees Miss Prissy, who looks like she just walked out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and he left his wife in rollers and a nightgown. Poof. Just saying, that's how it happened. Is it in there? Genesis 39 and verse 10. Craig, you looking at it? Read verse 10.
So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her.
She told him, first of all, what? Come lie with me. But she spoke to him every day. I'm just saying, she had to have a different approach, didn't she? Come on, I'm so lonely. Come, please. I just want to talk to you for a little. But when she saw that he wasn't going to go to bed with her, that he was going to refuse, no matter what she said, if you're going to be successful with temptation, you're going to have to get away from it, aren't you? You're going to have to avoid the source. Avoid the source. Young preacher in near Houston, Texas, had three beautiful little daughters, little stair-step daughters. Spent nearly $100,000 on the internet. Money they did not have. Preaching the gospel. And they found it on his computer. Found it on the computer at the church building. Thought he'd erased it all. Guess what? Then quickly, he was shocked by sin. Are we shock-proof? Well, we see it every day on television, on the billboards. Just above our little town in Peyton City, West Virginia, when prom season came, they had a big, long, wide billboard, seemed like about 40, 50 feet wide, I'm exaggerating. But there were 8 or 9 girls dressed in their prom dresses. You know what wasn't covered? From here up. Oh, they come clear to the mirror. Well, they be. Mothers, you want a teenage boy hugging your daughter when... saying, and hold her for an hour or three. Are we shocked by sin? I'm shocked by some of the dresses that I see, or the undresses. Are we running out of material? Toleration, I think that's the word, isn't it? We're tolerating it today. It's everywhere. And parents, by the way, dads, where are you? I've asked this about everywhere. Your wife knows men, she should. And you know, that's why Bill Cosby said, before he ruined his reputation by doing what we're talking about, he talked about going on with his daughter on her date with a shotgun. And that song, that country song, Bring Her Back by, what, 10? No, make it 9:30. And I'll still be cleaning my gun. Just saying. Are we shocked by sin? Joseph was victorious over sin because he was shocked by sin. How can I do this? You think he was mealy-mouthed when he said, you know, I don't think I can do this. He gave her a little speech, didn't he? And he meant what he said and said what he meant. The laws are there for our well-being. You break them, you break the law of gravity, what happens? Get on top of this building and do a head-first dive. Sometimes you can just trip on a walnut, can't you? Gravity will bring you down. You've had a fall. It hurts. Sure does. How about the law of electricity? Want to take a light bulb out and test it? You go first. We are to resist the devil. We are to flee fornication. That means run. Buy yourself a good pair of Nike shoes, okay? When the crisis comes, run. Don't linger, let them beg you. Last of all, Joseph knew that retreat was better than defeat. Better to retreat. You mean you had the chance with her and you didn't? What's wrong with you? What were you thinking? I know what Joseph was thinking. I know what the world thinks. How are we doing? Save yourself a world of trouble and follow this example of the Bible that God has given us. You can be tested. You will be tested. You will be tested. I'm not saying if. I'm saying you will be tested. And understand that retreat is better than defeat. You do not want to get in the camp of the devil. He's not going to have a pity party for you. He's not going to say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." Is he? We used to, na 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 na. That's how he feels. When you are down, there's no poor babies. Oh. He just keeps pouring on. And you know what? You deserve it. Or you can stay as Joseph did, pure, and deserve what you get. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't you look down your nose at God. That's what that means. And say, "I can get away with it." No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you won't. You be sure. Is it Numbers 23:32, I believe it is? Or 32:23, one of those two. I get dyslexic sometimes. You be sure your sin will find you out. You do not want that pleasure. Not at all. Remember Joseph when you read chapter 39, you can read the whole story of Joseph. Wonderful story of love, of hate, adventure, romance. All of it's in there. It's a book you can't put down. You want to end up like Joseph? Yes, shake your head this way. Do that. Keep thyself pure. Keep yourself pure by obeying the word of God. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, you are lost. You are like the rich man. You are lost. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, or God said, "Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." What if it's this night that your soul is required of you? Are you lost? You can change it. You don't have to climb Mount Everest. You don't have to do anything impossible. I thought in Acts 2 and verse 38, when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That when Peter said, "Repent and be baptized," if I'm in that crowd, I'm thinking, is that all? Do you know what we just did a few days ago? We were saying, "Crucify him!" And now I find out we've killed the Son of God. And that's all I have to do. Run to the baptistry, run to the river, run to the creek or whatever to get my sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Let it be known right now while we stand.
No.